May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, George and Joe were brothers, and they were awful people. They were criminals and downright nasty. And one day George dies, and his brother Joe says to the priest who was to take his funeral that he would donate $100,000 to the church if he would say that George was a saint. Well, the priest readily agreed. But during the sermon, the priest honestly described George as horrible and corrupt. He lied and cheated on his wife, stole money, and was just abusive and plain awful. Joe was getting upset by this, but then the priest kept his word. He said, George was all these nasty things, but compared to his brother, he was a saint. So I encourage you to read the readings at home and really take the time to digest what they're saying. And I thought we would look at the gospel reading from today. And when you read that, you'll see you can divide it into three sections. You can look at it as the first part being about Jesus' glorification, and then Jesus' departure, and then the new commandment. So I like to organize things like that. I find it easier to digest. So what is meant by glory? Jesus claims that the glory of God appears to the Son of Man. He says, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. So in Jesus, we see divine glory appearing in human form. And that's hugely important for us to understand who Jesus is. The Father has been revealed or glorified in Jesus. And this means that to see Jesus is a way of seeing God. Jesus reveals the true God. There's a Hebrew word called Shekinah that denotes the glory of the divine presence. It means the dwelling or settling of the divine presence of God. So God's glory and God's presence go hand in hand. God's glory is the presence and character of God. Scripture reminds us that by our fallen nature, we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. However, through Jesus, we have the remedy. Through our repentance and faith, Christ's indwelling spirit will restore us in his own image and character that has been lost in the fall. So ultimately, this means that when we truly love, we too are capable of revealing God's glory. In our gospel passage, Jesus announces his death and resurrection, and he speaks of it in a roundabout way. He warns that he's going to leave the disciples, and he uses the language of a journey, that he's going to a place where no one can follow. He's returning to God, the one who sent him. But he's not just abandoning his disciples. He says he goes to prepare a place for them, and that he will come back to take them to himself. He's saying, I will receive you to myself. This is a totally hopeful image of Jesus and the Father and the disciples, all sharing in one spiritual communion, and it captures the hope of the vision of the book of Revelation, with the vision of the end times, with the renewal of creation, when the old earth enslaved to sin will disappear, and there will be intimate union between the exalted Christ and his faithful remnant. But I also believe it means that when we die now, Jesus is saying that he is there and that there is a place prepared for us in heaven. And then along with his teaching about glory and his departure, Jesus is offering the disciples the clearest and simplest and hardest command of all: love one another. He describes it as a new commandment. But such a command is not new in one sense, in that the disciples will have heard the command to love one another from the Old Testament, in places such as the book of Leviticus, when God commanded the Israelites to love their neighbors as themselves. The newness of this command of Jesus is in the way one is to love. We are to love one another in the same way that Jesus loves us. Up until this point, the disciples haven't really understood Jesus, and now he's telling them to copy him. They have the foot washing, which precedes this passage, and the whole of Jesus' life in which to find a pattern and an example to follow. But many were put off by Jesus' example because they mistook his serving of others as being weak. He behaved like a slave with no power and authority. But in reality, when we act in love as Jesus did, we are strengthened, and love overflows into life-giving service and power. There is no power greater than love. It's a new command in that we are to love one another in the same way that I loved you, said Jesus. So how does Jesus love us? Jesus loves in a new way that is unconditional. We see from the gospel stories that Jesus doesn't turn broken people away. He doesn't discriminate or exclude. He accepts and loves us into wholeness. His love is merciful, forgiving, non-judging. Jesus heals not only physical conditions, but wounded minds and hearts as well, by his love. And he even loved his enemies. And as he loves us, we are to love one another. One story which illustrates the quality of the sacrificial love which we're commanded to share has to do with an Amish family. And this is a true story. A gunman came into an Amish community and killed some of their children, and then killed himself. And the Amish people believed very strongly that there could only be one response to such a terrible tragedy. They forgave the gunman. And not only that, but they took the money that had been collected for their community in response to the killings, and they gave the money to the family of the gunman who were struggling. This story illustrates a sacrificial, selfless love. They could have drowned in self-pity and anger, but instead they shared their love with the last people you'd think they'd want anything to do with. They shared their forgiveness and love with the family of the gunman, and they overcame hatred and death by the power of love. And if you struggle to love, in his book Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis wrote, "Do not waste your time bothering whether or not you love your neighbor. Act as if you did. And as soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets. When you are behaving as if you love someone, you will presently come to love him. And conversely, if you injure someone you dislike, you will find yourself disliking him more. If you do him a good turn, you will find yourself disliking him less." And just to put the importance of love in perspective, if we discovered that we had 5 minutes left to live to say all we wanted to say, every telephone line would be occupied by people calling other people to stammer that they love them. But why wait until the last 5 minutes? We're all hungry for love, and why do we wait to express it? Jesus commands us to love one another as I have loved you unconditionally. So don't let a day pass by without expressing your love at least once. Thanks be to God, through Christ our risen Lord. Amen.